Welcome back to Finding My Perfect Awkward. And this week I'm with Hawkeye, who is from New Country 96.3, Hawkeye in the Morning. But Hawkeye, you and I have met before. I don't know if you remember.
Oh no. You didn't tell me that. Apparently I don't. Tell me where and then I'll fake it like, oh, of course.
It's okay if you don't remember. It was actually a long time ago. It was during the pandemic. You were on Camp Broadcast. It was a virtual meetup at that point. And
okay,
you were a mentor giving advice to us. And some of us had lost our jobs or some of us were interns at the time, whatever the case. And you were there giving us advice and telling us about your journey and what you've been through and what you did.
I know I've known Sam for a very long time. In fact, a long time ago, I tried to get Sam to come and work with me in Dallas. And he goes, no, I kind of want to do my own thing. And he's done very well for himself. I'm very, very proud of what he's done. Yeah, he's great. He has helped out so many broadcasters too. He's done a great job.
Oh yeah, he's phenomenal. And what he's done with Camp Broadcast too is dynamite. Like, it's so unreal. But he's great. And you're great. From what I know about you from meeting you then, you're great. And I have kept up with you since then. Tell me a little bit about your journey, where you started from, how long you've been in, and then how you got to where you are right now in Texas.
Well, I've been very, very fortunate. I started at a college radio station in San Antonio. And back when I started, there was a woman who ran the department of San Antonio College. It was a two-year college. Her name was Miss Jean Longworth. She was in her 70s. And she basically got everybody in San Antonio their first job. And when a radio station needed somebody, usually a part-timer, because back then radio stations had people on 24/7, nothing was voice tracked. So they were constant need of talent. They would call the university and ask Miss Jean Longworth, hey, we need someone for a weekend shift. And I happened to be in her office doing something. I worked at the campus station when a call came in for a Saturday or Sunday morning, 6 a.m. to 3 o'clock shift on a contemporary Christian station. I knew none of the music, but I was willing to do it. And so that was my first job. From there, I actually did some stuff outside of radio after I got out of college. And then I went back and worked. I wanted to get back into radio. So I worked part-time at my first big time station in San Antonio, worked my way up to a full-time job. And then, did traffic for a while. And then from there, I got on a morning show in San Antonio at KJ97 with Randy Carroll, who's still there to this day, is in the Country Radio Hall of Fame. Yeah. And to be honest, I was also doing stand-up comedy at the time. And the station at the time in San Antonio had gone through some management issues. And I had made a decision that I was going to just work through the summer, and I was going to get a bunch of stand-up comedy bookings, and at the end of the summer I was going to transition into stand-up comedy full-time. And I was like, you know, I was kind of done with radio, just because I felt I'd gone as far as I could in San Antonio, and I really kind of wanted to try the stand-up comedy. And I was talking over with a friend and kind of going over the decision. As soon as I literally, and I'm not making this up, as soon as I made that decision, seconds later the phone rang and I got offered this job to come to Dallas and work with a gentleman by the name of Terry Dorsey, who is so amazing. The guy was just so far ahead of his time when it comes to radio. And they asked if I'd like to be a sidekick. I was 26 at the time. And I always tell people, it's like if a high school kid got called by Derek Jeter and said, hey, the Yankees want you to come play second base. Would you come to play second? That's what it was really like. It was like out of the blue. It was just the opportunity of a lifetime. And so I packed up, I moved to Dallas. And this year, this summer, 2 weeks from now, I celebrate my 35th anniversary at KSCS 96.3.
Good for you. And,
So I've been very lucky that one station I've worked for so long, and I worked with Terry until he retired in 2000 and about 2013 he retired. From then I just continued on by myself, and the show had evolved, you know, over the years and so forth, and became, you know, I've started out more of a sidekick on a larger ensemble, and over the years became a sidekick and then co-host. And then, you know, now I host the show along with Michelle Rodriguez, and it's been just a wonderful, wonderful 35 years. Very lucky. I'm very lucky.
It's also very rare to hear that somebody has stayed with the station for so long and
yeah,
has, like, you've kind of evolved with the station.
Yes. That's very fair to say. I've totally evolved. When I came here, the gentleman Terry Dorsey taught me everything I needed and everything I know about morning radio. And sometimes I feel like I'm just doing his show, just filling in the gaps on what he taught me. But yeah, consultants now will teach you what Terry was doing back in 1980 instinctively. And he really kind of created the morning template that so many people do now. And he just did it, like I said, he just did it instinctively. And I have evolved. I've been lucky that I've been able to stay at one station and all this time on the morning show too, but my role just kept, changing. So, I've had a lot of different owners. I've had a lot of different program directors, had a lot of ups and downs, between 6 and 10, when we're doing the show, it's been absolutely wonderful.
So knowing what you know now and going through everything you've been through with the same station, what would you tell somebody that is new to radio or wants to get into radio? What would you tell them?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say if you just want to get into radio, get into the station any way you can. Get your foot in the door any way you can. I mean, if you have to work promotions, and I read your bio, it sounded like you kind of, that's the path that you kind of got your foot in the door also. You just got to get in the building. Got to get in the building. Yeah. And get in the building. And then when you get in the building, be willing to do anything. And if they say, we need someone to go to Kroger on Saturday afternoon and set tables up and help out the DJ, one of these days the DJ is not going to be able to make it. And they're going to ask you, hey, can you do the college? Whatever. Be prepared to do anything. Be willing to do anything. Have a great attitude and move your way up. I've seen so many people in our building, and we're a top 5 mark that moved their way up just by, doing that. In fact, my co-host, she started also on a station across town doing, promotions, working in the promotions department. And she got a chance to do overnights on the weekend back when they had that shift, and then overnights full time, and kept just working her way up and everything. And we had an opening, she was doing middays, and we had been friends for a while. And I asked her, I said, hey, would you consider, her name is Michelle Rodriguez, would you consider doing the mornings? She was a little bit reluctant, and I'm so glad she said yes. And it's been, we're going into our 3rd year of this partnership. It's been fantastic.
I was just about to ask how long she's been there. 3 years.
3 years in the morning. Yeah. But she's 20 years. It's going to be 20 years next year in radio and DFW.
Oh, that's awesome.
Starting and, just getting your foot in the door,
It's all it takes.
You got to get in the building. You just got to get in the building somehow. Right now too, people would rather promote from within and slowly move up the ladder. I've seen so many people do that. Get your foot in the build, in the door.
In your career, mm-hmm. what is the most awkward moment that you can think mm-hmm. of?
Most awkward moment. This is going to be one of those moments. As soon as we get off, I should have told that story or anything. what's kind of funny is, at the very beginning, I worked with a person by the name of Paul Bottoms, and he had always had this motto: if you can't fix it, feature it. So if there's an awkward moment on your show or something, just make light of it. And we do that all the time. And now we even set up, awkward moments just to feature it. And actually, so one of them that we're going to do, we submitted it for Morning Show Boot Camp, for Battle of the Bits. Yeah. And we were one of the 5 this year, where I'm a horrible singer. So we got John Randall, who's the producer of Dierks Bentley and Parker McCollum, to produce me singing a song, Dierks Bentley's new song, Gold. They sent us the track, and then he auto-tuned it. And it came out really, really good. And then we had Dierks come on the show. We played him the auto-tune. He thought, yeah, that sounds fantastic and everything. And then we played him what it sounded like without the auto-tune, and it's so horrible. And he is like, oh my God, that is horrible. So it's funny that you say, what's your most awkward moment is, sometimes that's the most entertaining thing of your show. And we actually strive to find those and create them. And we knew it was going to be awkward and have fun with it. So we do that all the time.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. That it's a reoccurring bit. I love it so much. And the fact that you submitted it for Battle of the Bits.
Yeah, I can't wait. So this is my first time going to Morning Show Boot Camp, and we're really excited to be there and have it on. So
you're gonna love it. It's the year of firsts. You're going for the year first. And not only is it your first year, but it's also the first year it's in Dallas. So it's a new scene. There's a bunch of people going there for the first time for themselves. So it's going to be so fun.
Here's the thing, though. This is what worries me. So we're having a family reunion, and we're going to have it in Hawaii. That's where I went to high school, and so I had a family there. So we're going to Hawaii. I'm flying back the morning of morning show boot camp. I land at 5 and do my show, get off at 10, walk down the street to morning show boot camp. So it's going to be like that first day. It's going to be like 24 hours of being up.
You're going to be swamped, like, or not, you're swamped, but you're going to be exhausted.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'll, the first day at least, I don't know how much I'm going to participate. So for that, may just duck out a little early, go home. We'll see. I'll see how much I can hang, but I'm really excited to go. I've always wanted to go.
It's so fun. And that's the glory that's the beauty of Morning Show Bootcamp, is that you can do as much or as little as you want. You can talk to as many people as you want. You can go to any of the things that you want. And especially within it, in a new venue, like,
yeah,
you pretty much do. And the second thing is that you are so close to where it's going to be that, like,
literally,
you can really do whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me ask you this question. I haven't been before. And I know a handful of the people are, you know, professionally and so forth, but how do you find other morning people? Are they kind of shy, or, you know, cause sometimes I think radio people are inherently shy, and we're drawn to this.
So there's a little bit of both. I'm going to say two different, but there's really like four or five different personalities you're going to find. But the two general ones are either the really shy and quiet ones that want to go to experience and learn, and they want to help themselves get out of that shell, and then, or they know somebody already that's going and they stick by them and they just want to see what it's all about. Then you have the second one that are, it's kind of where I fit in, a lot more energetic, and they kind I like to tag along with the more introverted, shy people. And be like, hey, this is so-and-so. Hey, you, meet so-and-so.
Oh, because I'm hanging with you. I guess I'm going to be hanging with you.
Please do. If you find yourself wanting to meet people and you just don't know how to walk up to somebody, be like, Kira, hey, I want to meet that person. Please help me. And I'm just being like, yeah, sure. So-and-so, this is Hawkeye. I'm doing that for a couple of people already who asked me, like, yeah, I'm too shy to walk up to people. What do I do? Be like, just link arms with me and we'll skip together to this person and say hello. because the truth of it all is that everybody is very approachable. I have found everybody to be very, friendly and like very funny. Even you can just walk up to somebody. I walked to somebody up to somebody when they were eating, and it was the funniest thing. So people are very approachable. It's very fun. But yeah, so there's those two different personalities, and they kind of mash well together because they kind of just link up, and then they're like, okay, I'm going to stick by you so I can actually meet people.
All right. So I'll do that. That's going to be my plan right now. Yes. Michelle is pretty outgoing, and people just gravitate toward Michelle, which is kind of funny. That's one thing I really like. One thing, everybody has stuff they're good at and stuff they're bad at. And I was pretty shy at the beginning. I've really had to kind of force myself to get out of my shell, but I'm way past that now. I've been doing it for so long. But with listeners, because you can tell if you were with listeners, they're kind of lurking. Oh, I really want to meet, I want to meet Kira, That's an easy sell. You just, hey, how's it going? Hey, let's take a picture. That's easy. But when it's reverse, when you're the person, that's kind of always a challenge for me. But I kind of hide it well. You won't even realize it.
Well, now I know.
Yeah, now you know. Well, I'm excited to go. I really am. And when I found out it was going to be in Dallas, I literally think I was the first person to sign up this year, because I signed up as soon as I saw that it was in Dallas.
Yeah.
And then I Googled where the hotel was, and I was like, oh my gosh, I could walk there from my office practically, though it will be 105, but I could walk there if I wanted.
Jeez, Louise. Yeah. I don't listen.
I'm from Vegas.
Okay. Here's the thing, is that I'm from Vegas. But also it is the law that you have to have air conditioning in every single building. So I also know that Texas generally probably has a similar ordeal.
Yes.
I also know not to go outside.
Yeah, it's funny.
Shorts, tanks, t-shirts. Sunscreen. Your girl burns very easily. I saw on your Instagram about payphones. You posted about payphones and how they are basically no longer a thing. So anytime you see one, you have to document it because they're no longer around.
Yes.
I am young enough to not have ever used a payphone.
I was going to ask you, have you ever used one? That was my question. So thank you for volunteering that information. But you know what they are.
I know what they are. I love Sex and the City, and they are all over New York City in the series. So I know what they are. And I have used in hotels, they used to have a thing by the bathroom where they had like telephone stalls to where outside you could use your phone there. So I've used one of those.
Okay, that's a payphone. That's a payphone. You called an operator and they connected you through. Did you not have a cell phone? Do you remember why you used that?
I didn't have a cell. I was a preteen.
Okay, all right.
I didn't have a cell phone yet. I was kind of like making the presentation to my parents as to why I should use a cell phone.
Oh, I see.
That was kind of the era of life I was in at the time.
Okay.
And my mom, I believed at the time, worked in hotel, or she was just getting out of hotel.
Okay.
So that was in that hotel at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will say this though. If you see a payphone, I usually take a picture. 9 out of 10 times, they're in a really bad neighborhood.
Well, now.
Now I've like the remnants of one, because it was in a nice neighborhood. They would have been removed. The owner of the property would have removed it. And I was shocked. I found like three the other day, and in a neighborhood that's kind of being gentrified. And I was shocked that they were there, and they were just like still like on the street. They were just on the street, like in between the street and the sidewalk, just still there. And I'm like, no one ever came to remove them. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, these are still here. And all around there, they're rebuilding new buildings and apartments and stuff. And so just to find a couple of them there, I was just kind of amazed. So
kind of a blast from the past. You would think that the city would have removed all of them at one time, or, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think when the last time I used one, and I think it was at the airport. That was like the last bastion of the payphone. You can find them at airports, but you don't even find them there anymore, because everybody has phones, and there's no return on the investment to have a payphone.
So I have seen in some airports they have the emergency phone where it's corded and you pick it up and it takes you to the emergency operator. But that's one, not the same thing. But it is similar to what it would have looked like. I also had a home phone until I moved out.
Your parents had the landline.
We had four different kinds. They kind of evolved with time. But it started as a one of those big ones with the antenna.
And then
it got smaller with time.
The big one with the antenna was a cordless phone. Yeah. Yeah, so the base was tied into the wall, and you could only go so far. Yes,
exactly. And then we had a voicemail machine.
Yes,
that's wild to me. And you push play, and that evolved too. That started out as a little bit bulkier and condensed with time, but that too is a blast from the past because I had that until I was 22-ish. Mm-hmm. So my parents
still have the landline. They still
your
do the
parents
landline
still the... do it?
Oh yeah. It's so funny. This is so funny. So like the landline went out and they sent us an email address and you need to call us on the cell. Like, why can't we call you on the cell all the time? Like, oh, we're not gonna turn that on all the time. It's in the drawer. They only bring it out if the landline's not working. Why would we have it working? Why would we have it turned on if we're at home? I don't understand why we'd have it turned on. So they really only travel with it. If they're going somewhere, they travel with it. And I finally, it's been such a long process. My mom now actually is on iPhone 11, right? I can't believe she got to an 11. She somehow made it to 11, but she has only like 3 apps.
Good for her. Honestly, good for them.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, whatever works. So
honestly, if that works for them and they're happy. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of in radio, you know, that's kind of the interesting thing is you always have to adapt and everything. And I'm always amazed mm-hmm. like how different radio is now than when I started, in a great way too, because the technology, you can do so much more. You can edit on the fly. You can have access to all this information, all this audio. We never had access to any of that. Just getting information, basically relied on something called the wire service, which was like this, a teletype, like it was a machine where they would just spit out reams of paper. When you came in the morning, you just go through reams of paper to find out what happened in the world the night before. And that's where you would get your information and news to plan your show. Totally different. I wrote a book many years ago about San Antonio, a history book, and I did the update about 4 or 5 years ago. I didn't even have to go to San Antonio to do the research because all on the internet, for the update. And so the amount of information you have at your fingertips and the technology is really exciting. And that I really like that about radio. It's so easy, so much easier to plan a show than it used to be, just because there's so much that you can do, so much information. The hard part is everybody has access to the exact same thing. So what are you going to do with that information to make it unique, make it yours, you know, make you stand out? That's the challenging part. And that's where the fun comes in. But that's really, you have to separate yourself from everybody else, make yourself part of the story. That's what Steve Reynolds, consultant, would teach you. And that's a good lesson.
Well, it's also too, like, it's the era of video, and it's not just audio anymore. You're doing photos and videos and articles. And there's this whole other era and aspect of it now that is necessary that wasn't necessary before.
Well, that's the other cool thing too, is when you got off the air before, you got off the air at 10, you were off the air. That you had no connection to your audience after you got off the air. Now you have connection as much as you want. And that's the cool thing. I wish I'm always striving to do a better job connecting via social media and video and so forth. And it's not my top priority. My top priority is the show, because that brings it. But so all the other stuff kind of gets pushed aside a little bit, but you know, I'm always trying to improve that and do more with that. And you know, seeing what other people do and everything. Can I give you something that happened to us that is, this is like, here's a tip that someone's doing a morning show. This just happened. It fell in our lap and it got literally millions of views on TikTok and we did nothing about it. It just fell, and anybody could recreate this. So we have a bit second date update on our show, and it's kind of, a lot of stations do that. And there was this listener who started making TikTok videos of just them in the car listening to Second Date Update, and the audio was coming through. So you hear the audio, and then she just reacts, and not, I mean, doesn't really say much, more like, oh, come on, or, you know, laughing or ha. And so it's mainly just her listening, and she was getting, some of her videos got over 1 million views of our bit, of her listening to our bit. And at first I was thinking, okay, do we need to put a stop to this? You know, she's using our material. And then I thought, well, why would I want to put a stop to it? She's basically giving us free advertising. Millions of people are listening to our show who never heard it before. So we actually had her on our show and everything, gave her a plug. But then I thought, you know, we got very lucky that this person did this. I thought, why can't anybody recreate that? You know, get someone in your marketing department. If you've got a recurring bit or something that's great, just have them do the same thing. Just, you know, put it on your own station account or something. Get someone in the promotion department who wants to get in radio and, hey, can you do this bit for us? Just listen to our segment and react to it, and we're going to put it up on our station TikTok account. And anybody can do that. We just lucked out that someone did it, and it was, you know, getting all these views. And like I said, anybody could recreate that. And so I would, you know, if you're looking, if you got a benchmark or something that people tune into every day, maybe look at doing something that, putting on your station TikTok account or your That's own TikTok smart. Account.
No, yeah. It's smart. And then for it being a listener, it's more authentic too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So if it's someone like if it's someone in your promotion department doing it, they don't need to know that, you know, is someone that works for the station. And so, you know, they could just do it there. So
100%.
Yeah. So a little free advice there.
Yeah. No, 100%. So there's a section of this podcast that is called Rapid Questions.
Okay.
But it's not rapid. It's an ironic title now. It started out being Rapid, and now it's just Ironic.
I actually might use that next thing we have. That is so funny. I hope every time you have a celebrity, you do that, because that's just a laugh. It's Rapid Questions, but it's not Rapid. That's hilarious. All right, well, I'm going to get a drink of water here real fast because I'm ready for questions that aren't Rapid, but I'm not totally sure it's not Rapid. And, you know, Rapid really is relative. What is Rapid, you know? I mean, if you talk about, like, how long the Earth's been around, then it is extremely rapid. So, okay, I'm ready for questions that may or may not be Rapid. Okay.
Okay. Can you do an impression of anybody or anything?
Yes, I can do an impression. So when we were doing comedy, this is the first one that comes to mind. There used to be this gentleman, he would book acts, right? And he would always rip off the comedians. And then he would also try to make you do things on the side for extra money. Like, hey, Mark, this is Richard. Hey, I have a booking for you. It's in Shreveport, Louisiana. It pays $125, but would you do me a favor? Can you, before you drive from Dallas to Shreveport, would there be any possibility you could drive out to Santa Fe and pick up the other guy? And I'll give you an extra quarter. And he would, obviously an exaggeration, but that's, we would always impersonate that one talent booker who would just always be ripping off the comics. We found out later how much we were being ripped off, how much he was keeping for himself. He'd keep like 65%. Even Elvis's manager gave more than that. Yes, he kept it all for himself. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
So whenever we run into another like comedian from those days, we always bring up that impersonation. So
your impersonation is phenomenal. Thank it's almost you. Like Thank Fran you. From The Nanny.
Yes, he was kind of like that. Hey.
Very nasally. Yeah. All right. So it's International Ice Cream Month, and it's also International Ice Cream Day. When this comes out, it'll be the day before, so it's on Friday.
Okay.
What is your favorite ice cream flavor and where from?
Okay. I like vanilla that's already mixed with like chocolate and caramel. Caramel is like the forgotten thing. People forget about caramel.
Love.
Caramel is amazing. Caramel is really amazing. Love. So anything that's got chocolate and caramel mixed in it with kind of, that's, I kind of gravitate toward that. It doesn't have to be chocolate. It can be vanilla with chocolate and caramel. So that's one of my favorite mixtures and so forth. And then where I like to go for ice cream. I once thought about having my own ice cream shop. I love ice cream shops. And there's one here in Dallas that's based in Miami. It's a Cuban ice cream shop. And they have just the most amazing flavors. So they have like this mango ice cream that's really good there. So that's kind of one of my favorite flavors too. It's called Sucre. But unfortunately, it's about to close. They lost their lease. Yeah, they lost their lease. So if you come from Morningshow Boot Camp and you go to the Bishop Arts District, Sucre, I think it might still be there. Till the end of August. So just a tip to anybody who wants to show Boot Camp. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go. Cause then they won't exist there.
Yeah, exactly. Then, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
What's your favorite? You seem like a chocolate kind of person. Am I wrong about that?
Actually, I'm not a huge chocolate person. I'll eat it, but I'm not huge on chocolate. I think it's really rich. I love mint chocolate chip though.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
Peppermint is my thing. I love if I could just have plain peppermint, no chocolate. Mint is just my thing. I do love, I am non-dairy, so I do non-dairy, but I like coconut milk, mint.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
I was going to say it sounds strange, but it tastes delicious.
No, I bet that does. I bet that totally does. Yeah.
It does.
I hate to tell you this, but as you get older, peppermint's going to give you heartburn. It's just... It's just, yeah. Again, so you enjoy your peppermint now.
I'll fight through the pain.
Enjoy your peppermint now.
Actually,
50, it's not going to be enjoyable after the age of 50, unfortunately. So you got a good 25 years or so of peppermint. Enjoy it.
Boo. I'm actually in my coffee and all the flavors and stuff is all peppermint. It's completely like peppermint iced coffee.
Enjoy it now. Enjoy it now. It's delicious.
Ooh, I'll fight through the pain. I'll do it till I'm 80. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck with that.
It's fine. That's what they make. That's what they make Tums for, right? Or what's the heartburn? What's the heartburn?
Pepcid, I think. Pepcid AC, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's what it. Yes. Yeah.
And they make Altoids for it.
You know that Altoid gum? Have you ever seen Altoids? The strongest. Yeah. And they have Altoid gum. Yeah, I was chewing that all the time. And I thought, I feel like this gum is making me sick, but that's ridiculous. Gum can't make you sick. And then the doctor goes, he goes, you just have a really bad case of heartburn. Are you doing anything with peppermint? Like, yeah, I'm chewing this gum. He goes, yeah, that gum's making you sick. That's how I found out about it. I was like, you know, I think I was like right at the age of 50. He goes, yeah, about 50 is when people start getting sick from peppermint. I'm like, oh, great. Thank you. Just, I hate to kind of ruin the podcast for you.
Boo.
Yeah, I know.
Damn. I love peppermint. You know,
enjoy it still. Enjoy it. Maybe you'll find something else that you like. Maybe, you know, like, oh, this is just as good. Corn. Maybe you'll get really into corn.
But then if I ever have dentures.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Take care of your teeth now. Floss every day. Take care of your teeth now. You have a beautiful set of teeth. Take care of them.
Thank you.
It took work. For braces or something. Yeah. Your parents paid for braces.
6 years.
Yeah. Me too. Five. I had a five. You beat me. 6 years is a long time.
5 years is a long time.
I think our dentist put them on too early, is I think what happened.
Honestly, I had mine. So I got mine on when I was 11. Mm-hmm. And then
me too.
I had them off for a year after. I had them on for three, off mm-hmm. for a year, and then I had them back on until I was a senior in high school.
Okay. Oh, your parents just called. Kira, where's your retainer?
On the back of my teeth, I have a permanent one.
Oh, do you really? Oh, wow.
Sure do.
Wow. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I sure do. Although I did have to have, there's a night guard that you have to get after you get braces. That to make sure that the rest of your teeth don't move.
Yeah.
So like, cause my front teeth won't move with the cement on them, but then the other ones could. So I have to wear this night guard. I don't wear it. It makes my throat dry out. And then I feel like I'm sick all the time.
Yeah.
So I didn't wear it for a long time and I had to get a new one.
Oh.
I told my mom it was because I broke it, but in reality, it just didn't fit anymore.
Yeah. As an adult. Yeah. Sometimes don't tell our parents the whole truth.
It's fine. What she doesn't know won't hurt her.
No,
I had to pay for it, not her. So
yeah,
she paid for the first one. I paid for the second.
At that point, she's off the hook anyway. So
it's fine. All right, one more question. You ready?
Okay. Is it rapid?
Has this been rapid?
Yeah. Well, once again, not if you really. Compare it to the age of the earth, yeah, but not really.
Well, if you compare it to the age of the earth, we're rapid.
Yes, we're extremely rapid. That's yes. Yeah.
So I asked you earlier about your most awkward moment in your career, but what about in your lifetime? Most awkward or embarrassing moment?
So I lived in San Antonio for many years, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Riverwalk in San Antonio. It's this beautiful, the San Antonio River goes through San Antonio, and there's restaurants on either side. And when I was in college, there was one part of the Riverwalk that had this little island. And we used to run and jump to the island and so forth. Hey, look how, you know, amazing I am, and jump back and stuff. So after college, I was working radio in San Antonio. And once a year, they drain the river that goes through San Antonio. They kind of dam it off to fix the retaining walls and restaurants can get chairs and stuff. They clean it up. You know, they get stuff that fell in the river. And they, while they're doing that to bring tourists downtown, they have something called the Mud Festival, because the river is just this muddy bottom, empty muddy bottom. So me and my then girlfriend were going downtown for the Mud Festival. And as we're walking downtown, we come by that little island that we used to jump to. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to run and jump on that island to impress my girlfriend. Well, I wasn't the spry college kid anymore, and I didn't make it all the way to the island. And I came about a foot short, and my leg hit the rock retaining wall of the island. It ripped my jeans. I fell into the mud. So now I'm like probably like calf deep in mud. So now I'm walking back, you know, trying to save face to the end of the shore. Each step I go, I'm sinking deeper into the mud until by the time I get to the other shore, I'm to my waist in mud. I barely am able to pull myself out of the river. Obviously, we're not going to the festival. I asked my girlfriend, can you go get the car? We'll just go home. She goes to get the car. I'm totally embarrassed sitting there with mud up to my waist. And I see like people walking down this secluded part of the Riverwalk coming toward me. So I go hide in the bush, these bushes there, you know, so I'm so embarrassed. And the first they come through is a couple of municipal workers, and they're going, look, some guy tried to jump onto the island and didn't make it. You could see his footprints, you know, and they're like making fun of me, not realizing I'm right there hearing them. Then a family comes and they're walking by and the kid goes, look, Dad, someone tried to jump on the river. Look, you can see he didn't make it. You can see his footprints. And then he followed my footprints onto the sidewalk. And like, he goes, look, Dad, he's right there in the bushes. and the dad grabs the kid. He goes, come on. We're going. Let's go, kids. And like I'm some weirdo. And then by then, my girlfriend, I see her bring the car up. I go get in the car. I'm full of mud. You know, I got mud all over the seat of the car. Go back to my apartment. She literally has to hose me down in the backyard. And then I realized at that point that I've kind of tore up my leg and I'm going to have to go to the emergency room.
Oh my God.
Thankfully, I had all the mud off because I got hosed down in the backyard and then they're at the emergency room. So tell us what happened. Well, I fell into the San Antonio River. So that's
hilarious.
Was by far the most embarrassing, awkward thing that ever happened to me. I don't know what was the worst part, like falling in front of my girlfriend at the time and just the look of disgust on her face or her having to hose me down in the backyard. They're both pretty bad.
Or the kid finding you in the bushes.
Oh, the kid. Yes. Okay, I forget. That probably was the worst. The kid, Dad, there he is right there. Come on. Don't look. And you can just the contempt in the dad's voice. He was just, you know, I don't know who this pervert is in the bush, this muddy pervert, but let's go.
Leave the nice hobo alone.
Yes. The hobo. Yes. The noble hobo who fell.
That's fantastic. That's the name of a book. You could write a book about it.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you so much, Hawkeye, for being on this week. I appreciate you.
I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks at Morning Show Boot Camp.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet you in person.
Yeah, we'll definitely see each other. And we'll talk, we'll hang, and you'll introduce me to people.
I will introduce you to people. Where can people find you on social?
At Hawkeye on air. But I'm only on Threads. I'm committing everything to Threads. No, I'm kidding. are you on Threads yet? Have you gone to Threads yet?
I am one of very few that has not yet.
Well, you know the scam. Have you heard the Threads scam was going on? This is brilliant. It really is. Mark Zuckerberg is brilliant. So if you sign up for Threads and you decide, yeah, I don't want to do Threads, if you cancel Threads, it also cancels your Instagram. Yeah. So who's going to cancel Threads once you sign up for it? Nobody. So, you know, he's not going to have any attrition. Nobody would ever cancel Threads. Because they don't want to cancel their Instagram. At Hawkeye on air, I'm on. You can find me on everything. It's my handle for everything. At Hawkeye on air. HawkeyeOnAir.com is my website.